Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
Even Shy, singing our Jay Hatter's song, Words You Cannot Say, and this is my favorite song, and he does a great job with his writing, but to have this put to music and sung by Shout Even Shy was, and is, continues to be a bonus. And this is a team of voices, The Mysteries of History. Yours truly, Lady A, and I just want to say that Team of Voices is a part of all a Blog Talk Radio is a Blog Talk Radio program that's by our group, our poetic group, of allpoetry.com, the largest poetry group in the world. And I want to say thank you to Deborah Lee, who is our producer and the creator of this group, All Team of Voices, and the backbone and the front bone and all the bones of this radio program. And I welcome you all. And we have, you know, tonight is going to be a little story about the 1904 Olympics and the Open. So those who are listening and would like to join into the show can call, 646-668-2836 937. And so I hope you enjoy the show. And we have already Sky Darkholm, who is my backup girl for creating my my pages to announce the radio shows. And we've got her in the room. And we also have Sweet Pea in the room, who is... Yes, and how are you, ladies?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Well, that's good. Everybody's good, so that's a good thing. And today was a beautiful day here in New Brunswick, Canada. And
good luck.
It's summer-like today. And Sweet, what did you, kind of a day did you have, Sweet?
It's snowing.
No, is it really?
Wow. Yes.
Well, that is really not good. Yeah.
No, it snows and more in April than any other month in Colorado.
Seriously, wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's a little interesting little tidbit of factual information. And Sky, what was your day like today?
Well, we did have a lot of snow the other day, a couple days ago, but it's all melted now. It's all melted. I had a okay day at work. I had an okay. Work was work, and that's how that is.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I had a really good day. I went to my Aquafit class this morning. And or noon hour, I guess it was. And then I went shopping. And then I looked at my beach across in the outside of my house. So I feel very fortunate today. So did you bring anything, Sweet? Did you bring something just for open poetry, or did you write something to the topic?
I did bring open poetry, and I brought the Olympics.
Oh, I'm very pleased to hear that. And would you like to, what would you like to do first? Or do you want to wait a while?
No, I'm going to do open poetry just because I wanted to do it for you and Sky. It's the only reason
perfect.
I brought it.
I brought something about running.
You brought something about what?
About running.
Oh, excellent. Okay, good. And I brought something about running as well, and I'll probably read another poem that I wrote this past few days. So without further ado, Sweet Pea, would you like to place your piece in the room so we can follow along as you read it?
Sure.
Alrighty then.
I did this for last night's show, for Rocky Horror Show.
Excellent.
And this is Perception. Do you see me? Do butterflies still flutter in stomachs that drip with acid rain? Can smiles meld with gunmetal, shine on burnt faces of pain? Antifreeze dissolves teardrops on cherub cheeks. Shield against Chappie in the shadows of self-retreat. Orbital reflections from a stranger's face create fairy tale kindness that crumbles with fate as the screams within the synapses crackle between the bridges of shame and disgrace. Extinguished fireballs of desire no longer rain. Glaciers float in frozen veins. Ice crystals shred the bone in off-key sounds of a two-pronged saxophone. Voice of an angel speaks in poetic ears. Listen to the devil's rhetoric in palindromes. Confusion spins on rusty subway turnstiles, and self-esteem vomits yellow bile. Eyes in the mirror stare back on repeat, believer of hope, crushed by defeat. The cruelty of knowing the internal history, tells no white lies and rots within the core, leaving no mercy. End poem.
Wow. Wowzer. That was quite a powerful piece. And I have to say, before I say anything, Sweet has a picture up there of her, and she's gorgeous and has this beautiful auburn hair. And I love that picture. It's beautiful. And, you know, this was a very, first of all, I'm going to ask you what inspired you to write this. Was it a prompt or was it just born from your own heart?
His prompt was to write about perception and, just basically perceptions of self, perceptions of others, just a perception, you know, what people see, what people don't see. And this is a perception of, you know, basically how I see myself sometimes in a mirror versus how other people see me. Or how other people may perceive me, a radio person versus some of the stuff I've actually gone through in my life.
Oh, excellent. And it's captured your life in a lot of ways, not very sad and stressful times in your life. But you know, let me just see. Antifreeze dissolves teardrops on cherry cherub cheeks. Excellent alliteration there. And shield against chapping in the shadows of self-retreat. I love that verse because self-retreat, I do that too. And, it's a common thing, I think, amongst people who just kind of are on a little bit of a dark side of themselves and kind of end up going inward I call it hiding. I hide when I get like that. And I thought you expressed that beautifully well. But your whole poem is filled with terrific images. And I love this one, too. The voice of an angel speaks in poetic tones. Ears listen to the devil's rhetoric in palindromes. That's excellent. You know, there's opposites and perception and imagery, and I thought that this was really a very, very, very well-written poem. What do you think, Skye?
I thought it was an excellent piece, and I can agree more with that palindromes line. The idea of something being read, front to back, and then back, back from the bottom up to the top, the metaphor of that is absolutely beautiful. I thought this was a very honest write about the do things that we all put on. There's a perception in people when they hear, you know, even when we go out day to day and face people in real life, we put on our second selves, you know. We don't actually, a lot of us put on this our public self. Even when we're walking day to day and seeing people in our real lives. And then, of course, on the radio, we are able to even put on that second self even better because people can't really see us. And we're presenting a different side of ourselves. And sometimes people have perceptions and ideas and kind of say, well, this is the kind of person they are. And I guess assumptions, I guess, would be the great a word for that. And through our radio voice or what we might be, and you see that with people, even what we look like. They're like, oh, when you see people a picture, and you're like, well, I didn't picture that was you on the radio. And one thing that, and credit to the radio, that it does is sometimes it's better in a way because it takes away all those preconceived notions of what somebody looks like or anything like that to what they really are and what their voice really is. So it's kind of a double-edged sword because you do present your second self on the radio. It's not like you're having, I swear in real life, not a lot, but I do. But if I say I swear on the radio, we're like, oh, this guy's swearing. And it's like a big thing. But really, I do swear, just not on the radio. And so people have these preconceived notions of what you are and what you're not. And so it is a double-edged sword there. So I can definitely see that. You know, there's also, I love the part about, where was it? It was the part, it kind of went with the devil's rhetoric of palindromes, but there was another part, the eyes in the mirror stare back on repeat. Believer of hope, crushed by defeat, a cruel dream of knowing, the internal history tells no white lies. And rocks within the core, that idea, I mean, not the idea, but how sometimes life can really, you know, deal some pretty tragic cards to us, and we kind of just have to go on and go through life. And again, this part right here, too, there were so many parts I thought were very, very giving and very honest and raw and, you know, really just laying it bare, was the rusty subway with the in self-esteem's vomit yellow vial, because sometimes we, too, like other people, can judge us. We can really be our own worst critics with, you know, and it can really affect our self-esteem. And you see that when somebody writes a poem and people are like, oh, this is great. And we're like, no, it's not, you know. And that's just with poetry, but there's so much deeper there going on with, you know, all the trauma that people put on us, you know, through life and all the things that we have to survive, really. I thought this was a really giving peace to yourself and something that people aren't always willing to give to others, and kind of say this is what goes through my head sometimes, and more often than not, it's something that goes through many people's heads, at least pieces of it, in ways that they can kind of understand through their perspective. Really well done.
Thank you.
That was a terrific comment, and
I thought it was never going to end.
No, I think it's great to give a good comment. What did you say, sweet?
I said, shut up, Sky. No.
I think this was great too. That I and Sky touched on with the honesty in it, and your ability to share that part of yourself and be honest, because I think that's important. I think to be transparent in a lot of ways, and writing is a great way to be transparent, because you have the protection of your words, and they're yours. They belong to you. They're part of your being and your feelings, and I thought this was a really, really terrific piece. So
thank you. How was it?
Oh, you're more than welcome. I'm sure that you got some terrific comments last night as well when you read that.
I did, but I was, you know, I just wanted, you know, two of my buddies to hear it and get some feedback. I wasn't expecting that much feedback and that great feedback, but I really do appreciate it.
Well,
I take
it
all back.
It was very excellent poem. Yeah.
Thank you.
So, there's a few pieces of poetry. I think there's only two other pieces that I have, and I think some of them are SoundClouds. I'm going to check and see. We're still good for the studio. So let me go checking to see about the other, because I think there are, let me see, three altogether. Myself, mine, and then I have SoundCloud by Gerald E., and also a SoundCloud for R.S. Morris. So we'll play them a little bit later on. Sky, why don't you read what you've brought for us, please?
I brought a poem about running.
That's good.
Well, it's a pre-write, so it's really not about running, but I'm going to tell you what it was about so that you're not too lost while reading this, because this is pretty abstract, but on point to the topic. So it's a film, Logan's Run, and since it was Logan's Run. I thought I could bring it because it had running. And it's a science fiction film, but it's also based on the 1967 novel by William Nolan and George Johnson. And it's a utopian future society. And on the surface, it's kind of presented as a dystopia where the population and the consumption of resources are maintained to in equilibrium by killing everyone that reaches the age of 30. And the story kind of follows Logan Five, or the Sandman, who has terminated others who have attempted to escape death and now faces it himself, and then he goes on the run. So it has running in it, Lady A, so I thought it was kind
yes,
of appropriate.
Okay.
This is called Life Walks, Logan Five, the Sandman. Year of the City, 2274. Bright sachets of light circling in twister grins, flame jumpers dancing in anti-gravity carousels, spark explosions of death and disguised renewal. A spectacle of undefinable measures falsified as identity rise population with thief controls. And where are the runners, one might ask? Terminated by Sandman, chunks of curdled flesh, melted corpses, sopped up from floors after inhaling death fog, poison transmission. 30 years, that's all the life you are allowed. Watch red turn to black, report approach, and identify, reject change of ink and sanctuary. The question has been answered in riddle. Procedure reprograms, go beyond the dome, break seals and destroy elusive Notre Dame. Lives are shortened upon cryptic briefings. There is no return into which mountains, from whence you have came, dear, dear Sandman. Glass cars and hollow train tube transportation, an ambush in the stone rescue runner, cub lair. Delinquent checkerboard doors and decay echoes. Walkie-talkie cleanup in quadrant 39. As the wolf in undercover armor searches for a new face, perhaps to falsify smiles and betray. But lasers gash and machine malfunctions. No healing will this cosmo torture chamber provide. Just run towards psychedelic R2-D2 talk. But Sandman's greeted with poison nightsticks as speeches unveil a perception of truth. Just a prettier version of a man riddled with guilt. But he chooses wisely and betrays not love till ocean tides and white thunder currents wash lovers into cavern endeavor elevator shafts, snow castles, and perhaps a fortress of solitude where silver CP3O destination coffins made of ice lining the outer rim of the dome. But humanity prevails. A sanctuary is found. The sun in all her glory without a name is warm against the Sandman's palm. Red to black to clear, crystals have no power. And the look of old will soon embrace smiles, stumbling upon overgrown vine gravestones, but valuing the cost of life that much more. Logan Five, the Sandman. You are renewed, and poem.
Wow!
You know, I've told you this before. I'm always impressed with your ability. Sky's an avid reader, and she retains what she reads, and that's what I find very amazing about you. That you could write this piece based on that movie, and I'm sure there's a book because you love books, and I am amazed at how you write like this and can retain all that you've read or seen. And I think I have not seen this movie, so I can't make an intelligent comment on you know, the characters that are in this piece, but just by reading it, I think you have, created the character and the basis of the story. and just in depth and a good, not even a really great thing to say, not a good, I think you do a fantastic job of your words, your word creations are, and your phrasing, and all that you write about are just seems to be out of your own brain, let's say. That's the best way I could put it. And I love it. I love what you do with your pen, because you do have this gift of writing, and it's so believable. Like, it just seems like a real story, and the way you recite it, it makes it even better. Well done.
Thank you.
So sweet. What did you think?
Well, first off, I gotta say, Skye, I love all the other movies you put in here.
Okay,
just so that you know, I did catch that. Okay? I did catch all the other movies, such as Witch Mountain, C-3PO, and I don't even know if you knew that, Hunchback of Notre Dame. Let's see, where are the other ones that I kind of caught
Star
up to do? Star Wars, yeah. Well, that's C-3PO.
Superman.
There was one other one I thought. Oh, that okay. Peter Pan. Yeah, I'm like,
Superman.
Okay, that's what.
Oh.
Oh, Superman. Yeah. I thought you said Peter Pan, but I was like, well, I could see Peter Pan because everybody wants everlasting life in this movie. Anyway, they don't want to live. You know, they definitely want to live beyond 30, even though the concept is nobody does. So you're always a child. I have seen Logan's Run, and it is definitely a psychological kind of, you know, everybody thinks in this thing, oh, the perfect world, everybody lives to 30, there's resources till you're 30, and then bam, you're gone, okay? Even though that's definitely not the truth of it, I like how this is presented. I like how, you know, but valuing the cost of life, that's much more. Logan 5, The Sandman, you are renewed. I really enjoyed that. I think this is pretty great. CP3O descendants show coffins made of ice lining the outer rim of the dome. Because I would jump and go, you know, wherever I possibly thought I could find life. And I think that's the whole thing of Logan's Run is, you know, wherever you can find life, you go to. And nobody decides at what age you die, which is, you know, the ultimate version of, is the future going to be, you're allowed to live till this age, so we don't overuse our resources. So is that our future, isn't it? Which is kind of the basis of that movie and several other futuristic things. I mean, Star Trek has covered it. I don't know. Is it Star Wars that covered it? Or was it? No, it's always Star Trek. But one of their movies touched on it too. But it's cool. I didn't think it was so abstract, by the way.
I didn't either.
Oh, good. I thought maybe.
And I went back
I
to look at that reference to. I went back to look at that reference, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, and I thought that was, the question has been answered in riddles, procedure reprograms, so beyond the dome, break seals and destroy elusive Notre Dame. Now, I'm just going to, like, is that particular verse in reference to, because The Hunchback of Notre Dame was different than everybody else, and so they ran after him, right? I do know that story from the movie.
Yeah, and then there's definitely, there's that piece, and then there's definitely, I'm really glad, sweet, that you caught the Witch Mountain, there were many, many movie references, but not so much just reference to the movies, but the themes that the movies have and the internal kind of, you know, and the ideas of the movies. So I do appreciate that.
And Hatter's on the board as a ninja.
Yes.
Stating that Farrah Fawcett's
first movie, I thought that was great alliteration in that Hatter. It was excellent alliteration in that sentence. And I hope you call in because, you know, we'd like to have you on board, make fun of you for a while, and then you can leave if you want. But it would be kind of nice for you to call in. And enjoy the girls, the women of all poetry, the women of A Team of Voices. How about that? That sounds pretty good, I have to say. All right. So that was excellent, Sky. Absolutely excellent. So now I'm going to put my little piece into the room, and I wrote this I've done it according to the prompt, so I will, and I can pick out a free verse one too after if we have time. So here we go, and in the room. And this is an Olympic story of Olympic proportion, and it is called 1904 Olympics or Sorry Ass Statistics. Okay? Has everybody got it that wants to get it? And we're okay in the...
Yes.
All right, here it goes. It was summer, 1904, St. Louis. Men's marathon. Their hearts beat like a drummer. First time summer games in the USA. A disaster, some say. Runner's course was dusty, and breathing in the silica injured William Garcia's stomach and esophagus. Water was withheld to test the effects of dehydration. Caused a sensation. One unfortunate soul breathed too much dust, hemorrhaged from his gut. Seems quite impossible to be used as guinea pigs. Perhaps the marathon was rigged. Fred Ford came in first, had some serious cramping, and pitched a ride. Later was disqualified. He got out of the car just before the finish line and crossed it like a champ, where some were fooled, but not all. Fred said he did it as a joke. And then Thomas Hicks took gold. He was slipped a poison mixture they thought would enhance his run. Egg whites and strychnine nearly took his life. And then there was Andrin Carvalja, Arvelgel, a postman, and he arrived late to the event. Broke after losing all his money and no running gear to wear, he cut off the legs of his trousers, and he ran on an empty stomach. He hadn't eaten in 40 hours. Today the games are different. Rules they must abide. 'Twas a free-for-all in St. Louis. Some ran, some napped, and some got a ride. And
woohoo!
There now.
That was excellent. Great storytelling. And I think it was. I read about it. I thought it was crazy.
It really was, wasn't it? The whole thing was insane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. And
I was going to make a comment.
Ahead.
I don't know if I didn't want to cut Sweet Pea off. Was that your comment, Sweet? You? I don't want to cut you off.
Oh, I mean, it's the things they went through is absolutely insane. I mean, there were also two African Americans that ran. They were. This is the first Olympic Games that they had two African Americans run, and they signed up on a whim. And they actually said that these two gentlemen could have won the race, but they were out, playing to the crowd, sitting down, having conversations, cracking jokes, talking with people on the crowd, petting dogs. One laid down and took a nap in an apple orchard. But that story has yet to be validated. They're not sure of that. You can actually see pictures and old movie reels of I don't know if it's old movie reels, but actual pictures of the this going on. I thought it was hilarious. In a way, I don't know, especially the poor guy with the strychnine. He actually did take first place. They gave it to him, even though he was carried over the finish line. The Olympics board decided they didn't care. He's the guy that won.
Yeah. It was that the guy that that Andarin Carvelgel was the one that cut off his pants. He was the one that lay down in the orchard to take a nap because he ate some rotten apples apparently, and he finished in fourth place. But yeah, it was pretty outrageous, wasn't it?
And it wasn't him that cut off his pants. It was another athlete that cut off his pants, and he didn't have proper shoes.
Well, I'm just going to interject here because, according to my research, it was him.
According to mine, it wasn't him.
Okay.
You guys,
it was
right,
another athlete because he didn't have the proper shoes either, because he borrowed someone's shoes, and this other athlete made him shoes and remade his pants.
Okay, Hatter's posting pictures of Farrah Fawcett. Okay, I'm just going to put this in. I'm just going to post this from Wikipedia, okay? And then
I don't use Wikipedia.
Well, I do. So, all right.
Well,
so that was.
Since you guys are talking about apples, do you guys want to hear an interesting fact?
Sure.
Before I make my comment.
Okay.
In ancient Greece, men used to throw apples at women if they found them, if they wanted to court them, so to speak, and show them their love and admiration. And if the woman caught it, they accepted their love and admiration. And if they didn't, then they just didn't. And they would just have apples thrown at them. Really awkwardly.
Wow.
That's awesome.
There's some weird stuff out there, isn't there?
It's real life.
That's fabulous.
Nope. I have a wealth of useless knowledge.
Yeah, well, that's you'd be good at Trivial Pursuit. We should have a game of Trivial Pursuit see how that goes. Oh, that's so much fun.
That has to be like Trivial Pursuit is like things that are useful knowledge. I don't know anything useful. I just know really random things. It's not useful whatsoever.
You appear to be very intelligent, I have to say.
It's really useless stuff.
Oh, my goodness. Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh. So I thought this piece was wonderfully done. I like how it goes into, like, what happened and, the story of it. And I like the way that you kind of put a piece of history into the poem to teach us, but in a way where we don't know we're really learning. Like, we know we're learning because we're reading it, but we're learning as we go. But you disguise it as a poem, so people that don't like to read, like, pages of pages of, like, historical things, you know, might come across this poem and say, oh, I like a poem. And it's presented in a way where it's creative and informative. And it's a brilliant way to teach people about things from the past and things that perhaps, you know, many rules, you know, think about the coffee cup. The coffee cup didn't always say hot. Be careful until somebody spilled it on themselves and sued the coffee place.
Right.
You know, so like everything is put in place for a reason, and a lot of rules come into place in like things like probably the Olympics and many other things because something bad happened. Like that's basically what happened.
Yeah.
Something bad
yeah.
happened, and then they were like, oh, we need rules here because this bad thing happened. And if you see a warning on something and you're like, why would they even warn you about that? It's because somebody did it. That's what you're
yep. And they wreck it for everyone.
When you see those really random rules, you know, that say, don't lay down in the field and eat some apples or whatever this guy did, you know, those are reasons. There are reasons why those are those rules. So I just like that. I like how because you can go back and you kind of learn a little bit, and you do it creatively and in an informative way, well-structured almost prose poetry, but in a way where you get the facts, but you don't get them too much, you know, so to speak.
They're very interesting facts. They make, like, you know what I mean? I try to make it sound a little bit interesting anyways. And this story struck me really funny because I like to look for odd things in history too, you know, not just...
This is very odd.
And I hope those people that are listening... What did you say? What did you say, sweet? I didn't hear you.
I said it's very odd.
Oh, how much fun do we have, right? So I think now we'll go back to the board and we will play the SoundCloud by it's not Robert, just one moment, please, because I've lost my place in my mind. Not as bad as losing all your marbles. Okay, so we're going to play the sound. We're going to play the SoundCloud by, I'm lost. I'm so lost.
Do you want me
headache.
To get it?
Well, I just want to say the right name, and I've lost my thinking head here. And I'm going to get you the name, and if you want to put, whoever's in the studio wants
there's
to press
two.
The button.
Oh, there's two SoundCloud, Lady A. Let me help you out. We have one by Gerald Green. Do you want the Gerald Green one first? Because that one actually pertains to the sub. That one actually pertains to the sub. So would you like that one,
and then
my friend?
I will put it in the room, and then you can play the SoundCloud.
Just doing that,
Wunderbar.
Okay,
right.
Here we go.
Oh, you already put the link in the room. Okay, good. You're way ahead of me.
Yeah, I was doing that when I was talking. All right,
thanks.
Here we go.
Thank you. Okay.
All right, I'll make sure that I write the right one. So here we go. Gerald Green.
Marathon, written and read by Gerald Green. The race was held in a dusty place where lungs were filled by dirty air. On unpaved roads in late August heat, the marathon was an ugly affair. The cheating was unbelievable. Its organizers were inept. One man became sick about halfway through and couldn't go on until he slept. But when he felt better, he finished the race and still came in fourth place. The temperature made it to 90 degrees and thusly reduced their pace. As runners were dragging their dusty feet while coughing and gasping each breath, their lungs and their throats were dry as sand, bringing them all to the point of death. The winner got tired of running, so he borrowed some drugs from a friend that gave him wild hallucinations while helping him to reach the end. End poem.
Wow. Gerald, thank you so much for writing to the prompt. I'm very pleased about that. And you put that together in a beautiful way, and I love the picture you put in there. And you covered the whole thing. It was very, very well done. And there was one, I think I must have missed that one, because there's different, the wild hallucinations. The winner got tired of running, so he borrowed some drugs from a friend and gave him wild hallucinations while helping him reach the end. This was a terrific poem. And you got a little bit of humor in there. You got the history of it all in there. And you did really, I really like this. What do you think, Sweet?
I really did enjoy that. Of course, I love his voice and all the wonderful things that he is. But I think that he put it in a nice package, and he did all those wonderful things. And I'm trying to find. First off, I love his picture too. Let's not go there. I like the cheating was unbelievable. Its organizers were inept. One man became sick about halfway through and couldn't go on until he slept. And, of course, the last stanza is just as great. And the second to last stanza is, it tells a story, but the problem is it's very true. He literally almost died. I mean, that's what's so sad about it. He was so near death. They took forever to bring him in back, and I'm surprised they did with the technology they had. And he never ran again.
Wow. I didn't know that. How nice is that?
I think that's what
like...
I read.
Oh. Well, you're
let me double check on that. I'm not mixed up.
Yes.
I will bring the Smithsonian to you.
Not
all
right.
Wikipedia.
Okay. Gerald, okay, I'm going to ask Sky too what she thinks of it. Let me check the studio too because we could be.
I'm going to teach sweet my favorite word. Sweet, the word for next to last stanza. So the word for next to last is penultimate. My favorite word. You'll say
what is it?
Penultimate. Is that? Wow.
Penultimate. That means
well,
the next
write it
to
down last. And send it to me.
Okay. She's going
like
to write me a
text it to me. Text it to me. So I.
If I write it down and text to you, I expect a love poem about the word penultimate.
Okay, I'll see what I can do. I will write a poem about it. I will write about Sky. You know, send me a bunch of words, and I'll write a ditty about the words you send me.
Oh, that sounds like a great time. Yes, I'm excited now. All right, I'm going to get on that. I thought this piece was wonderful. I have to agree. Listen, I'm very all over the place. It's fine. The thing I liked about it is something that I forget now who said it. I think it might have been Lady A. Is that it captures so many pieces of what the prompts were on the board. It didn't just focus on one story. Instead, it really took the idea and showed things on a greater scale of how the Olympics kind of went and how they really failed the people that were racing and failed the competitors themselves. That it just wasn't very well organized and very well put together, and perhaps because there weren't enough rules, I don't know. But I really thought it was wonderfully clever. I loved the rhyme. I liked how he brought in bits of the stories that if someone went on and they read, like I read the prompts and I read them through, so I know the one of the topic, I could see them here. But if you didn't really read anything about the topic list, you're still going to capture what was important here in the meat of each story. But collectively, and I really liked that he did it really cleverly, and he did the transitions between each one. He fit them in quite brilliantly. I thought he did an excellent job. I have to see the dragging, the dusty feet, gasping of the breath and the lungs and the throats, the dry sands. Like, this is not seen. Like, I don't like to run in general, but I would definitely not would like to run under those circumstances. So this is very, very well. Very well presented. And great.
It
like
sure
and
was.
Great. Yeah.
Okay, the guy, the
Go
runner
ahead.
That came in, the runner that actually came in first did not die
was
and
Laud.
He did run again. One of the other ones that had actually, there were two runners that never did run again.
Okay.
And I sent the Smithsonian article to you.
Oh, well, what are we going to do about Wikipedia now? Are we going to have to report them or what?
Anybody can put anything on there. I mean, I use Wikipedia a lot, but it can be edited by anybody.
You could go in and say that one of those people ate a hot dog.
This is not critique hour.
You can edit
Andrea.
Wikipedia.
This is just not. It's not. It's just, you know.
I'm just saying.
I'll call on. X might want to look something up. I'm going to call you, okay?
Just go to
I'm from Canada. We use Wikipedia up here. We don't use.
You know, I'm just being a brat to you, right?
Yes, you certainly are. But that's all right.
I love being a brat to you.
I'm your favorite brat, too, aren't I? Yeah.
Yeah, you are. You're a breath me all the time. You want to read
really
my poem since we're on the runner's poems?
Okay.
Put it in the studio.
Oh, for goodness sake. I will put it in the studio. No, Sky's going to put it. Sky's my help. Get on the
I
ball,
just asked.
Sky.
I would have done it.
Okay, do it.
I put down I'll put Sweet, because Sweet's right, because then we can get all the running poems together. So that was a great idea, Sweet.
It really is.
But it's nowhere near as good as everybody else's.
Oh, stop.
You're very serious, good. But I like it. I'm good at it, but it's just not quite as flamboyant or flight is. It doesn't flow as well. But here we go. 1904, the men's marathon of dust and pain. 23 men bend on the line, waiting, chests puffed and hearts full of pride, wait for the sound of the gun. A race has begun. Miles of obstacles, people, dogs, feces, a track of hot tar, broken cobblestones, orchards, and country roads of dust. Birds stop singing in St. Louis when the mercury rises, and crickets are burnt by the sun. Pushed beyond limits, unprepared and framed, Olympic fame was not part of the game. Deprived water for the scientific gains, pushed forward in nostrils inhaled, particles of dirt and dust till throats bleed and lungs wheeze and men begin to fall. At the end of the race, the winner held on to his friends as he was carried to victory. Only 13 legs crossed the finish line, some barely alive. End poem.
Wow.
Oh my God.
I thought that was great. You made it very dramatic. I thought that was terrific. This is the last part. The second last part.
Penultimate.
You know what it is? Quick, hurry up. Tell us what it says, what it means, what the word is.
Penultimate.
What?
Penultimate.
Yeah, I'm not going to learn that.
No.
Yeah, it's going to take my little Southern belle a lot to say penultimate.
Penultimate,
yeah. I'm going to have to hear that a few times and play with it and let it roll off my tongue. Penultimate.
Penultimate, yeah. Oh, my soul. That was really, really, really good, I thought. Now, let me just pick it a little bit and see what I can say. And it's so specific,
you can say whatever
okay?
You want.
No, but the crickets, okay? This was really interesting because you had to put a little bit of darkness in here or it wouldn't be part of you. And, okay, let's see about the 23 men and the sound of the gun. A race has begun. And then miles of obstacles, people, dogs, and feces, a track of hot tar, broken cobblestones, orchards, and country roads of dust. Now, what did you read in the Smithsonian about the feces? Hold on to that question. I'm not finished critiquing yet.
Okay.
Another comma, one of your lines up here, too. The miles of obstacles, comma, people. So just saying. And then, you know, you really, I love the next one, birds stop singing in St. Louis when the mercury rises and crickets are burnt in the sun. And is that a picture of burnt crickets?
What? You mean my picture?
Yeah.
No, it's just a picture. It's just a picture.
It's a cricket.
No, it's
crickets.
Not.
I'm calling the SCA after this show is over.
Okay, burnt crickets. I don't care.
Just
a picture
really
looking
well
out from a mountain.
But you had to. You had to, you know. I think you captured the like pushed beyond limits, unprepared and framed, Olympic fame was not a part of the game, deprived of water for scientific gain. What they did to people without telling them, eh? And I just thought this was really good. What did you think, Skye?
Oh my gosh, I thought it was in like a horror story that was built on a on the foundations of like a reality. Oh my gosh, this was like I was wincing. When you were reading, when you were talking, what did I write in my comment? I wrote, oh my gosh, when you were talking about the dog dung and the hot tar and the broken cobblestones and all that, and then you went into the throat bleeding and the lungs wheezing, and I'm just like, oh my god, this is like really intense. You brought the dog into it, but the truth is, it is very dark, and I like that you put it in that light. And it reminds me of definitely one of those, like a horror movie that's based on reality. A lot of horror movies, nothing's more scarier than reality, I'll tell you. Yeah. So a lot of good horror movies are based on real events, and I feel like this would be a good one. And you kind of captured it here with this, the way that you kind of, the intensity in which you presented it and the verbiage. And, you know, I Lady A hit on it, For what? Why do they do this? Something, you know.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, that freaks me out that they did that for scientific gains. I mean, granted, they also in the 60s pumped people full of drugs for scientific gains, so, you know.
Timothy Leary, to be exact.
Right.
With
but
LSD.
This is just crazy. Right, but it withholds water.
Yeah. Well, I was going to make a comment, but I'm not going to, in light of the sensitivity of it all with regard to COVID, but anyway.
Right. I took my shots to be quiet.
All right.
I have another one to go. Oh, but in regards to the feces.
Yes. Do tell.
I didn't read that in the Smithsonian. I was watching on the internet. There's some little documentaries, so I watched like two or three, and they were talking about the obstacles that these runners had to go through because they actually ran through the streets, and through the streets they had to dodge people, they had to dodge cars, the fumes and everything of the cars too. People walking their dogs, because back then people didn't really pick up after their dogs, and there were also people that, you know, 1904. There were people that kind of lived outside, and people didn't really pick up after themselves. And, so they were running through broken cobblestones. They were running through not the greatest terrain. So it wasn't just like in the stadium. So the little stadium that they built, they ran their first four laps in the stadium, and then they were sent out into the streets. But they weren't sent like today where all the streets are cleared and you have people in the stands. So they watch the runners, like, you know, anytime you have a big, you know, Boston Marathon or New York, the roads are clean. They didn't used to do that.
I'm just – because I read something today, and I don't know if it was Wikipedia, but I read something today with regard to the running in the stadium – that they still, the marathon runners, do five laps around the stadium before they go out into their venue. Is that right? Or
right.
Did you,
and then they come back in and run till the end. So they start and end in a stadium.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's very interesting. And I did read that in Wikipedia, so they're good sometimes. But, and just for the listening audience, my sarcasm and my friend, Sweet Pea, are one together, understand each other. So don't be upset if you think I'm being rude, because I'm really not. I'm just being sarcastic.
Oh, it's all with love.
It's all done in Christian love. That's right.
Absolutely. It's all with love. We adore each other. We're very good friends off the radio also.
We are. So not to worry, people.
Yes.
It's just my bit of sarcasm that not everybody gets, but Sweet Pea gets it. And I've written poems about her with a great amount of love, so not to worry, okay? Don't write any letters into the studio. Okay, I'm going to check the studio. I wonder if anybody has anything more to say.
No,
yes. Here's what I'm going to ask. Why only 13 legs crossed the finish line? That was my other question.
Oh, it's 26 legs.
Oh, okay. Well, you got he was carried to victory. Only 13 legs crossed the finish line. Some barely alive. So I wondered what that meant. The 13.
Because only
legs.
13 men finished the out of 23 men, only 13 finished. 10 dropped out.
Yes, but there was it wasn't. You didn't put men. You put legs.
I know. That's why I got to fix it because it's 26 legs.
Oh, okay. So, excuse me. Okay, so I get it now. Okay.
That's a good catch.
It was a good catch because I'm very alert about a lot of things. Not everything.
And Racketeer's on the line.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, I think so.
Hello. Oops, I better turn. Hello.
Unmuted.
Oh, no, it's Hatter.
Oh, somebody put
I fixed my poll because I decapitated half the men.
Who's 916? Hatter, that's you, is it not?
It's Hatter.
Yes.
Okay. How are you, Mr. Chapeau?
Can you hear me? Okay. Yeah, you know, Sweet Pea's at the heart of a cow. Cow.
Now, to our listening audience, you must wonder what that means. And do you want to tell them, I don't want to tell stories out of school, do you want to tell them what that meant, Sweet?
I had a mitral valve that was replaced with a cow mitral valve. That's all.
Yeah. So, yeah. Really
I learned all about it.
I know. She'll do anything for attention, you know.
I will.
Yeah.
Everybody's going, oh, did she really say that?
No.
You know, I made you laugh. I made you laugh when you were in the hospital. No better, didn't I?
Yes, you did. I don't know why everybody thinks I'm so sensitive out there in Radio Land. I'm not.
Well, I just don't want them to feel like, you know, we're abusing you in any way, you know.
I'm crying. Oh, my God, I feel so abused. Please.
She really does. So, Hatter, what did you think of, have you been listening to the poetry, my friend?
I've been listening to poetry for several years now.
So, we have a resident smart alecky person, a smart alec. What was that word I used in your poem? Anyways, it doesn't matter. So how
and now Deb's
bring,
on the
yeah.
line.
Who?
Deb.
Somebody's in the room. Oh. The boss is here.
The
boss is here. Oh, hi, Deb.
She said who? Like she doesn't remember me or something. Damn.
Hi, Deb. The boss is here.
Saying,
so good.
Have you been listening to our poetry, boss lady?
No, hon, I've been writing a poem for you.
Oh, good. We're having fun, though. We're having a good What?
Just saying. You said I posted one also for your show.
Oh, I'm so happy. So what we're going to do now is we're going to get Mr. Morris's poem up, Sky. And if it's already in there, we might have to scroll up a bit to get his poem, but he wrote one as well. But I do believe, if I'm not mistaken, he's written one of for open poetry, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
R.S. Morris?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I see the one of these. More than one. Please. Excuse me.
I didn't hear
what you said, Hatter. I've got to mute myself. Hold on.
You really do.
Lady, do you want me to press play? Because I put it in the room. I put it in the room a bit ago.
Okay.
Do you want me to press play?
Mr. Morris now do his piece for open poetry. And thank you for submitting your poem to tonight's show, Mr. Morris, Robert. And I happen to love Robert's voice, so I'm going to be listening intently. All right. Press play.
Marathon, written and read by Gerald Green. The race was held in a dusty place.
I just really wanted to hear Gerald Green, I guess. Again, I'm sorry about that.
Moot.
I wonder what happened. Seemed to give many people fits. I'm just a simple piece of cloth from the land of gravy, biscuits, and grits. I am a common battle flag, like hundreds that came before me. There are untold stories in my fabric of men, their tragedy, and their glory. I started out being revered, flew from every home in the South. Generals and admirals saluted me, words of honor and respect from their mouth. There are stories never to be told, for the soldiers no longer are here. Their graves scattered throughout the South. Their resting place is not safe, I fear. I have flown over state capitals. I have flown from the backs of pickups. They've even made me into swimwear, been sewn onto high school dance tucks. If they only knew what I've seen, spilled blood and disease caused death. A ragtag army of volunteer soldiers, wounded, breathing their last breath. Lincoln couldn't have states seceding, couldn't dare break up the Union. There are only poor dirt farmers. Alas, they try and stop a reunion. He wrote edicts to control the South. He didn't count on the spirit within. He stopped the transfer of arms. He didn't count on the will to win. Our battalions always outnumbered. They had an unlimited supply. Their cannons and arms were newer. We used our own rifles to get by. Lincoln hoped we would give up quickly. Never thought we had this much fight. The battles lasted 4 long years. We fought hard for our God-given rights. The battle for Atlanta was near. They tried to go south at first. Yanks were beat at Brown's Mill. This defeat was one of their worst. This forced the North into Atlanta, but the time had come to surrender. I flew over that battle waving proudly, what I saw woven into me forever. March to the sea, a scene of horrors, everything destroyed in their path. Knew they had won, but did it anyway, punishment for catching Lincoln's wrath. The South gave it all they had, fought for what they knew was right. They gave it a valiant effort, gave their lives to fight the good fight.
Wow.
Yeah. I know that here I'm going to say something about history, and I think that you know, we've kind of swung the pendulum far to the right, and I think the monuments that have been destroyed should have been left standing, because whether, you know, it was history, it was history that was destroyed, and there's, you know, and I'm not saying, I'm not supporting, I mean, the reason that they went to war was for the, you know, the North and the South, probably was deeper than just what is known, but I think, trying to say this without being, you know, I think the monuments should have been kept. I think that it is part of our history. It's part of the world history, and it needs to be remembered. The flag I think it's honorable that you've done this piece about the flag and the history of the flags are important, and I think some of them have been used in a way that they weren't meant for, and I mean in particular the Nazi flag and the swastika, that wasn't what it was originally meant for. But I think it's, again, part of history. And I think it was really brave of you to write this piece. And I think that it was well written. You can feel your heart in the history of the South. And that doesn't mean that, you know, you were a supporter of slavery. I'm not saying that at all. And I think that the flag represented more than that, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. It was representative of a culture that was outside of slavery, because, I mean, slavery wasn't right, and we all know that. But it did represent something different than that as well. Maybe I'm not making any sense. Somebody bail me for a few minutes.
We got it.
Like to say something.
Yeah.
If I may.
Yeah.
How history is written sometimes is sometimes it's swayed one way or another. The Civil War was a tragedy, of course. It was about the South threatening to secede from the Union, which wasn't acceptable. But the problem between the North and the South was the plantations versus the factories that made the clothes, this kind of thing. It was taxation without proper representation, basically, is what started the feud between the senators and then splitting the states up. They didn't think they were getting the right price for the cotton and all the other goods. So that's how the political war started. Slavery was something that the North didn't like. They didn't. No Northern Republican ever had a slave. That was always an issue with Lincoln, and he knew it was going to be a slight transition. He wanted it could it be easier for the nation. What had happened was the Civil War, of course, it was terrible, but the South was half of the United States, and they were trying to be represented. The same thing we did with King George of England. It was basically that, but the slavery was always an issue. It just came to the head faster than Lincoln expected it, because he didn't want war, but that's what happened. It was more than slavery. Slavery was probably the biggest human rights issue by far.
Yeah.
But the argument was always money.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the argument about what happened was not even, to be honest with you, it was not only a human rights issue. It started as whether or not slavery and the laws of taxation and everything were going to continue into the West. It wasn't about North or South. It was whether or not it was going to be carried into the West as the country expanded. And there were businesses between the North and the South that wanted it and didn't want it, and who was going to get the money and who wasn't going to get the money, and everybody wants it to go North and the South, but it was really about how it expanded out West. But aside from that,
very complicated. You know, if you're supposed to really read the history and talk to the
If I may, I think Seth might have to read and run. So I don't know if you want to grab comments for this, but we could drop. We can drop Deb.
Okay.
That's just a read and run.
But I want to comment on the poem. Outside the history of all of this, the poem, because it's written from the standpoint of a flag, of a symbolism. And if we go way back in symbolism, the Christian cross was actually a sign of being a devil worshiper way back when. And I, you know, if you, a flag or symbolism, which is what it was at one point, was a representation of something people believed in, just like I believe in the United States flag. Always have, always will. It's part of my blood. And I think to write it from that flag's point of view, during that time in history, not this time in history, but that time in history, I thought was done beautifully. I thought it was well written. I thought it's very heart-wrenching, because you have to put yourself in that time frame, because you cannot judge something in today's time frame. You have to do it then and there. And what that flag felt then, because thinking of that symbolism, I thought he did a beautiful job. I think that's what it's all about. And I think for that flag, like, to feel that blood on it and all that, I thought that was just done so well.
Both sides, both armies were, there was very little recruiting. They went farm to farm and grabbed and made these guys fight against each other. And once it was done, you know, you start shooting, somebody got to shoot back. Most of them didn't even know why they were there, but they were just taking off the farms and you're part of the army.
Yeah, there's a lot of time to be said on this. I think that including the monuments, and I mean, I just want to interject something here. First, I'm going to talk about, I think this is Frank. One second.
Hello.
Hi, Frank. How are you?
Hello there.
Hola.
Maria. Doing fine. Hola.
We're just in the middle of getting some comments for Robert Morris.
Well, we
want
to get Sky to read too, right? Or Deb?
Deb, yeah.
Okay. So. All right.
So I just want to get her in there too. Which one are we commenting on? I'm not sure.
Well, I don't think we have time to do much more commenting. So.
No, and Deb's got to run, so we got to put her poem up. So.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead. Right. We'll do that.
Yeah.
For commenting on R.S. poem, I think that, for one, aside from the amazingness of the details here, that playing Amazing Grace in the background really struck a chord, setting a tone for this. I think Lady A was saying earlier something about not knowing how to put it, but to me, they need to leave this stuff alone, because either we get a amazing message from it or we get a lesson of what not to do, but it's still a part of our history, and destroying it doesn't make it go away. But amazing poem and an excellent, excellent recording.
Yeah.
Okay. And sweet, I put a cow photo on the chat wall for you if you get a chance to scroll
good.
Back. He's pretty hot. Nice car, too.
Okay.
Anyway. This is called The Cursed Cloud Over the Competition. Gray shadows circle over the racetrack fields. The dust clouds poison the runners outside, coating the larynx and lungs with every breath as dry dirt and the mucous membranes collide. The dust clouds poison the runners outside. They gag and hemorrhage and dehydrate as dry dirt and the mucous membranes collide, leaving the athletes clobbered at the gate. They gag and hemorrhage and dehydrate, with the teammates dropping like fruit flies, leaving the athletes clobbered at the gate. Then trainers and handlers feed them lies, with the teammates dropping like fruit flies, coating the larynx and lungs with every breath. Then trainers and handlers feed them lies. Gray shadows circle of the racetrack fields. End poem.
Oh, Deb, that was fantastic. Thank you for writing to that prompt. I really appreciate it. Yes, Hatter, I was just reading a question from Hatter. I thought that you did a really, really, really fantastic job on this, and I love the palindrome that you wrote in. I get them all mixed up. your style, the style of the poem. Deb?
Yes, yeah, it is a pantoum. And thank you.
Pantoum, yes. And I really, I loved how you wrote this, and you touched on everything. And it was a very, when you think of it, in the way you put this, it was a very serious thing that happened to these runners. And some of it was, you know, I brought in a few humorous things. But when you think about the dastardly deeds that were done with the strychnine and the dehydrating them and the dust clouds, I mean, it really was brutal. I thought you did a fantastic job on this. And they gag and hemorrhage and dehydrate with the teammates dropping like fruit flies, leaving the athletes clobbered at the gate, then trainers and handlers feed them lies. That was brilliant. Very, very well done. Thank you for writing. And Frank, what did you think?
Thank you.
I was about to finish my comment there. First of all, this is a very powerful piece here. You know, the whole notion of what, you know, we're talking about a different, an era in which the Victorian era had ended there, pretty much the beginning of the 20th century here. How much has advanced? You know, you think about how much the Olympics have advanced there to what its originality was in the beginning, with very few nations competing and competitors as well. I thought you outline here a lot of you know, it is haunting in the sense of what these athletes had to experience here, even the athletes afterwards there and other successive Olympics until it came to the modern Olympics, you know, now. There was a lot of, you know, I can only imagine, I didn't know the details that you described there, but I can only imagine what they experienced was horrendous there. And you know, and I think the one thing that you capture, you know, you captivate here and, you know, you get beyond what you mentioned there of the athletes and their experience and their struggles and their to compete is that the spirit of the Olympics is carried on. You know, there is a sense that despite the travails, you know, the difficulties that these poor fellows had to experience there, they set the mark for all Olympians and athletes afterwards, you know, to emulate. And I thought it is a sense of curse when you think about the fact of what they had to experience. But I also think that it does give us some hope there, and it gives hope, the message there, of what the Olympics unfolded and how they unfolded and what we know now. In fact, if I'm mistaken, the Olympics are going to be this summer. So a lot has progressed there, Deb. These poor fellows had to go through a lot. And I know, I'm not saying they don't now, but a lot has progressed in that time period that has elapsed. You did a wonderful job there in describing each and every one of these struggles there.
Thank you, Frank. Yeah. I didn't have to imagine too much because, like, I have asthma, and I can't even imagine if while I was gasping, I was rubbing my throat, like, literally and figuratively with sandpaper because, I mean, after all, that's what sandpaper is, some little dirt stones on a piece of paper that you scratch wood off with. Well, they were essentially doing that to their skin, to the lining of their throat, of their lungs, and that's why they were bleeding. It's heartbreaking and horrible and terrifying at the thought, gasping for air and shredding your own flesh with each breath. I mean, it's terrible.
You did a fantastic job writing to this. You really did, Deb. What did you think, Hatter?
Well, I think it was very, very well. I, you know, what blows me away is I didn't know any of this. I'd never heard of this. In 1904?
Yeah.
That was the marathon track or the course?
Just a dirt road, and between that and they didn't have, like, at least for now, if our men run our men and women run marathons, there's
people standing there and trying to hold out a cup of water so they can just keep running and grab it, or a bottle of water. They had no water. They had no nothing. They were just treated like a workhorse.
Yeah.
And I had never heard of any of this before your show, Lady A. Just saying.
Oh, wow. That's good. It's good to know that at least, you know, some interesting historical events will, you know, it makes you think about things, you know. And, Sweet, what did you think?
Well, first off, personal message to Deb Bull. But, yeah, I love this. You just take us into, you know, the gagging and the hemorrhage. You just really make us feel it. Because, God, coating the larynx and lungs with every breath, and the trainers and handlers feed them lies. And that whole gray shadow circles over the racetrack. I mean, it's like the dust storms of the 40s and stuff in the 30s, and you can just see it all over them. And I just, the way you put it, as dry dirt and mucus memory frames collide, it's like this whole vision of imagery you've just got going there. And it just makes me feel like that sand in my throat. And, wow, you did really amazing with putting that imagery together. And, I feel like I need to take a shower right now after that poem.
And not in a good way, huh? Damn.
Not at all.
And sorry, what did you think?
Thank you, Sweet.
You're welcome.
Oh, I thought it was an excellent piece, and you know, and I said in the comment down there that I think this says something about how sometimes we fail each other. You can see those failures throughout history, and you can see them today. And, you know, hopefully, and I think we do, I know there's some things, we're hard learners, but I do think hopefully there are some things we do learn, and we try to be better to each other. And, you know, hopefully situations like this, and to create some kind of awareness of these things, perhaps, you know, demands a bit of, causes a demand to change, and knowing that, okay, this is where we were and where have we come since then, and hopefully there's been an improvement and there's been, you know, a moving forward of this. Your piece does not shy away from the grittiness of it, the raw and the ache and the tragedy of it, and I like that about this piece. Not that I like the content of it and what it means, but I like how you don't shy away. I think some people, you know, they sometimes will pretty things up to make it not, you know, sink so much in your stomach, but the truth is that some things need to sink. Some things need to burrow into your bones so that you don't forget it and you know, and this really happened and it wasn't, and it was not okay. And sometimes when you dress things up and make them presented in a way where it's more commercialized or more pretty, you lose that. And I like how you don't here. So really well done.
Thank you so much, Sky. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And
wow, great comments and writing. You have to run now, Deb?
It depends on how Sky answers the question that I just sent to her inbox.
Okay.
Oh, I don't... That's what I was actually just going to say, Deb, actually. I didn't know, I was going to ask you, Andrea, if you wanted to have, to take a short break and have everybody, I know Sweet here, you know, actually if you just can Deb go first to announce, show announcements and stuff, since
there's sure.
A pretty good group here. Yeah.
Sure.
Deb, but Deb must have used my mind.
That does happen sometimes.
Okay, whoever
so
said
like,
the announcement,
free. Well, the short but sweet one is, my topic's up for Monday. If you want to participate, write a number on the line, and I will give you your prompt. And it's a new artist. It should be a great show. And I am overly excited to announce that Sky is going to do a show on the second Tuesday of the month, starting in June. And I'm sure she'll give you some of the details, because, like, I'm really looking forward to the her concept. And I don't want to steal the thunder. I just want to say that I'm thrilled that she's back on the team, and that it'll be an 8 to 10 slot, and it should be lots of fun. So there's something to look forward to in June. And thank you, Sky. And it's very exciting.
Very exciting. Congratulations,
right.
Sky.
Hatter's mooing at me.
Thank you.
Me?
And then, Sweet, do you want to plug your...
Yes.
Kind of goal, right?
Tomorrow night at 8, it is What Would Your Childhood Bedroom Walls Write You a Letter About? Please, like to share that with you. I am going to share what my bedroom walls are going to, well, the letter they wrote me, and I'd like to hear about yours. So,
wow.
Write a letter from your childhood bedroom walls.
Does it have to be the childhood bedroom?
You can make it up. I mean, it's poetry. You have
a lot of
whatever.
Poetry.
Yeah. Do what you want.
I like Lady Aisha's idea. Lady A, you could write like what your fantasy would be. You know.
Oh, you can write whatever
I already,
you want.
When she said the bedroom, I thought I already had it planned, and if it's okay, it's not going to be about my childhood.
That's fine. I mean, bedrooms are for daydreams and dreams and Barbie doll stories or G.I. Joe stories. Whatever. You were there for a long time. Write one story.
All right. No.
Yeah,
I'll do something.
Lady,
I will bring something.
That's a really awesome topic. I'm going to look at it. I work till 9 on Thursdays now, and sometimes I get a little late because, like, I can never get out of there, but I'm going to try to make it for you some of it. The latest by 10. So I'll be there the latest by 10. But The latest by 10, I promise. I will be there unless fire happens,
okay.
But I don't think it will tomorrow. I might actually call it tomorrow. Don't tell anybody.
I will.
If I may, Andrea, I've got a couple. I got Saturday. I've got Lord of the Rings, Poetic Flight of the Lake. We're going on with our marathon. 2 hours, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's going to be great. And house only, laid back, relax. We're just going to be talking about Lord of the Rings. I also have another show on Tuesday next week. I'm really busy. And this one, I do need some mics over at LCN. I do like less bright to display.
Oh, dear.
I don't know what that was. I'm not sure what that was. But it's over
the
at LCN.
Cow.
Oh, okay. It's over at LCN, and like I said, I don't want a whole bunch of them. So I do like to talk about the topic on that. And it's a book for this movie, as always, this month. And it's going to be on The Radiant Girls. I read it last year, and I've been waiting for the movie to come out where I can stream it, and it should stay on Netflix. So The Radiant Girls, 1920s, very sad story. Check it out. Some prompts from – I pulled out a lot of lines from the book myself when I read it. So check out that talk board. And I don't usually go this far out, but since I think Deb wants me – to talk about, and of course, that's a theater. She wants me to talk about the new things on second Tuesday starting in June, and I'm going to have to log into my phone because, of course, my computer froze. And the topic of that, it's already up because I get kind of crazy, and I like to be a little bit ahead. So the June topic is already up.
because it is a new topic, and it's called Down the Tube, Really Random Stuff with Miss Darkholm, because I like to be really random and go on YouTube and just learn about all these random things, kind of like the random facts about the apples that I said earlier. So I'm just going to pick a lot of random stuff that I come across on YouTube and like to learn about, and it's going to be just really random. And right now there's already four prompts up, and they're pretty cool places under, you know, an ocean waterfall, some maggot glowworms that are clinging to ceiling cave walls. So I'm sure Deb will love to write about that. And some crooked forest trees. So go check it out. I've been talking long enough. Thank you, Lady A. Back to you. I think Frank also has a show, just so you know, and perhaps Hatter.
Okay, so let's do Frank. Tell us about your show, Frank.
Frank?
Did Frank drop? Can anybody hear me?
I don't know if he dropped because my computer froze, so I can't get into the studio right now, so I don't know if he dropped. I'm trying to reboot my computer.
Frank, are you still here? I can't hear you, Frankie.
You need somebody to live in the studio? I'm not there, but I could.
No, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you. And now Sky's back too, I think, aren't you, Sky?
My computer's rebooting, so I'll be there in a minute. But I mean, I think Hatter has a show too, if you can't find Frank. And
Frank,
I already put Hatter's poem on the board.
Okay.
So he is up there.
All right.
God damn it.
So let's do that. Let's do your poem last. Hatter. Oh.
Okay, Saturday is Saturday with AP and Deborah Lee, the poetry. The suggested prompt is springtime, whatever it means to you. Allergy, skeezy, or fresh to do, or love in the air, hormones, all that. Anything you want to write.
That's on Saturday?
That's it. Saturday at 11. Eastern time.
Okay.
8 Pacific.
Very good. And Frank is back. Hi, Frank.
Oh, I don't know what went on there. I do apologize. I don't know what happened there.
That's okay. We were just wondering, like, you got want to talk about your show that you've got coming up.
Yes. It was, I said before, we do at the cafe an hour there on Tuesday nights. I think it's going to be it's 8 Central, 9 o'clock Eastern. Saturday, the cafe is on at 2 o'clock Central and 3 o'clock Eastern.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you.
There's lots of shows to tune into, people, and help tune into them, help support the different poetry groups and their shows, so that's great. So, okay,
sorry,
what's next now?
We'll put Hatter on the
that's
board.
Okay, Hatter,
next.
Okay, sounds good. Hatter, and then Frank probably, eh? Okay, sweet, what's that link that you've got there? Oh, it's Hatter's link, okay.
Oh, it's me
Hatter,
dancing,
whenever
I was
ready.
Trying.
Oh, look at there, look at his face. Tom Petty, look. Hey, go ahead.
Okay. Mine's called The Worst of Things to Come. The Worst of Things Come Free to Us. Okay. It was like this. It took 3 scores for me to see the strings of life individually, counting backwards against the sun, watching tethers come undone. Seeing things I wish to not, knowing that it falls apart, tasting colored mushroom tea, sitting cross-legged next to me. Smoky hallways filled with dust, the worst of things come free to us. Simply said, I think it's dead, not wondering what to do. Hold me, please, I can't believe there's nothing here called you. I find this place a bad mistake, I wish myself away. Watching memories disappear, I turn and walk away. In home.
Wow.
I love this. I love all your stuff. I say it every single time, and I don't think I'll ever get tired of it, and I hope you don't either. But simply said, I think it's dead now, wondering what to do. Hold me, please. I can't believe there's nothing here called you. OMG. What a great line that last line is. I just think that this is beautiful. And it took 3 scores, 30 years. Is that 3 scores? The strings of life individually.
Is it score 20 years? Is it score 20
yes.
years?
So 60 years.
60 years. Counting backwards against the sun, watching feathers come undone. I love this, Hatter. This is just fabulous. And let me see. Frank, would you like to comment?
Yes, by all means. First of all, the one thing that I do appreciate about my friend here, that he's very candid, and that's to be appreciated
yeah.
here. You know, a lot of people, when you write, we at times find it we find it easy to get lots of metaphors and use them to disguise a lot of things that we feel, a lot of things that we think. And with my friend here, Hatter, I do get the sense. I do get a great sense of him in many of his pieces there. But he speaks from sincerity. He comes straight at you there from him, his soul. You know, this rite was very powerful. And it had a candid admission of what he thought, what he feels. You know, and I could not help but be gravitated by that. But the title there, The Worst of Things Come Free to Us. It's a wise title there. There's some philosophy here to my friend. Here, it took 3 scores for me to see. It takes, you know, for some of us, you know, Hatter, for some of us, it takes more. I mean, for some of us, we never achieve. We never get there. We never get to that place where we find wisdom in ourselves to actually admit, as a man, to admit the things that we need, which is sincerity, which reflects in sincerity.
Thank you so much, Ray. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wait.
Seeing things I wish to not, knowing that it falls apart, tasting colored mushroom tea, sitting cross-legged next to me. Well, I think she always sits there. I think she sees what you see. And if it took you 60 years to see it together, at least you saw it together. Even if it's
yeah.
a memory.
The first time I saw her was freshman year of high school. First day, I went to my buddies and I said, I'm going to marry that chick one day. And they laughed at me.
Wow.
That's their thing,
that's for sure. And Sky, what did you think of that? Hatter, I'm going to send you a note, okay?
Okay.
Tell us what you think.
Well, I think there's an important thing that I love, again, the honesty of it. And I also like the fact that even though it's rooted in so much truth, there's still a piece of the magic that you have. And the fiction that you carry in, the tasting colored mushroom tea, sitting cross-legged next to me, to me, you know, that brings in your spirit. And perhaps when we say fantasy or fiction, you know, when I think mushroom tea, of course, what I first go to, especially into consideration when we write, we often write even very truthful rights into things that perhaps we hold dear to us that is fiction, because therein lies our usefulness and our ability to see things in a different perspective, that perhaps a perspective of a hope, because when we're younger, we have that sense of innocence, that things are going to be hopeful, and that sense of magic and a fantasy. And to me, that in itself, just bringing in that little bit, this little touch, brings in that entire thought of perhaps one day, perhaps this. And then again, bringing on the, you know, the smoky hallways filled with dust, bringing that hope, but then turning the sentiment, turning the feeling around to a bit of a darker sense of loss and what we had in youth and what we have in adulthood, a little bit more reality, a little bit of more of a sour taste. What ends up happening, things don't always work out the way we want them to. And I appreciated that turn and those vocalities in that piece. Really well done.
Thank you very much. Yeah, the Russian tea was just a play from Wonderland, just a touch.
I like how you inject that into your poetry always. And my note, I'll send you this note. A further comment with regard to that, I'm sending it to you now. But I think it's so important to be able to express yourself, and no matter what, and no matter what it happens in our lives. And I think you did a really great job on this, for sure, as you always do. And Sky, did I ask Sky already, or Sweet? I asked you, Sky.
You got me.
I think you just got to get Frank.
I was the first one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think I was
rebooting.
Who
I was rebooting.
I think
we're good. No, I
okay.
Got it. Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay. So let me go back to the page here to see. I don't think we have any poems left, if I'm not mistaken.
We have Frank. And that's
Frank's poem, yes. Frank's poem. So Frank, we'll get yours in there and you can read.
All right. I know I didn't write to the topic there. Fortunately, I do apologize. I didn't really have the time. But I did add a poem here that would, I thought you would enjoy the piece there and the rest as well, because it is about the certification of women. It's called If Men Could See Women, and it goes like this. A woman is a man's rose to cherish, to see it blossom to its colorful maturation as its bud fully open, to see its soft petals caressed by the touch of a man's gentle fingers and care, and to let them wilt away. A special gift to appreciate every day and every breath for such a fond affection we call love. A woman is not a man's possession, for she is the embodiment of the goddess men should always adore in life. She is the mirror of a natural beauty painted by the artist with his canvas, palette, and brush. Her beauty is magical to the eyes of the beholder that faithfully sees her divinity, and not only her imperfections. She is a seduction of the moon, of the night, the animation of the stars of the universe. Man must know that a woman is made from the same flesh that born him, from the same blood he spills. Man kills the thing he loves when he kills the love for the woman he professes to love. He plays Cupid with a woman's heart, and plays the villain with a woman's dignity. He must learn to value what he has and from what he wishes to have, the illusion and the reality. A woman is not a shadow of man. She is the image of his angel, an angel man often disregards so foolishly. Man is born from her womb, and from her womb he grows into the ripe seed of manhood. If men could see women as they are in their essence, and they would see the truth unveiled before their eyes. Una mujer es divina y siempre especial para gozar y amar como una bella rosa. A woman is divine and always special to enjoy and love like a beautiful rose. End of poem.
You know, Francisco, this is beautiful. And I think that, I'm left sighing because, you know, I want to believe that you really do understand the heart of a woman. When men write these kinds of poems, that's what I want to believe, that they really do understand. And, you know, in by understanding it, then you know instinctively almost how to treat a woman. I just think this is gorgeous. And I know it's about me, Frank. You don't have to tell anybody else, but I know it is about me.
Oh, there you go there, Lady A. You're divulging our little secrets there.
That's right. Don't tell anyone.
Okay.
So, Hatter, what did you think of that one?
Yeah, some great, great lines in here. Man kills the things he loves, and he kills the love for a woman he possesses to love. Where's the other one? Man must know that a woman is made from the same flesh that bore him, and from the same blood he spills. What other instance is something that's so loved and so desired, sometimes they'll kill for it.
Very much so.
One of the rawest emotions. Yeah, that's why the heart aches so bad and so deep. Is it's not supposed to. I mean, it's supposed to hurt.
Yeah.
I guess.
That's why I put the line in there, a woman is not the shadow of man. She's an image of his angel. Fortunately, man often disregards it so foolishly.
Yeah,
beautiful piece. And, Sai, what did you think?
Guy? Yeah, I was on mute. I'm sorry about that. I thought this was such a beautiful piece. That a man was born from her womb, and from her womb he grows. I thought it was a wonderful lament and homage to woman. And I think, speaking of the mysteries of history, thinking of, women coming into their own, really, and I don't know, I'm just thinking, a room of one's own. And that entire idea of really where women once were placed and how time has changed a lot in that and grown. And Frank, he's really, puts in perspective how to cherish women and how a woman is a property. There isn't a shadow. A woman stands on her own, and I think that men like that, the men that are afraid to say this, and aren't, this is how it is. A woman can stand on her own. She's independent. She's beautiful, and we need to be thankful for her. I think this is such a, for me, I respect. This is what women want. That there is an independency instead of a union and a togetherness and an equality. And when that can be achieved, it is such a beautiful thing for both parties. And I think there's a beautiful lament. And there was another part in here that I really liked, and I lost it now. There were so many pieces in here. That of course artist is a natural beauty painting and I can't remember where it says a man does this, he kills a man kills the thing he loves. When he kills a love for the woman he professes to love, and how true is that, and for both. You know, when I say I love someone, I mean it. I love him for life. And most everybody that I've ever dated, I'm still in contact with in some way, similar person, because it was just in the car that way, and they were very I said I love you, or I want to be part of my life. Even though they're not part of my life in the way that, you know, thought we were going to end up. And that little meaning and still there for them. And I think that's an important thing to remember about love, that when you say you love someone, it isn't always that has to change and adapt and become something different. But you love a person, not the relationship. That's really what it is. I mean, you can love the relationship too, but the person for who they are, and not just for who they are with you. And I think forget about that, and that's why people aren't able to move on. Now, there are certain circumstances when those trust and those withdrawn to protect yourself, and I understand that. But many aspects, I think, many people have to remember why they lost that person to begin with. And it's accomplishing something and having nothing. Sometimes it's impossible. Sometimes we can develop those pieces, and when you can, it too is this beautiful thing. So I think it's an excellent piece, Frank.
Yeah, appreciate that there, Sky. Thank you very much. I agree with what you said there. You know, love transcends genders. It's there when it's there, and when you have it, learn to appreciate it.
Yeah, that's a great comment. All the, you know, I have to say we have about 4 minutes left. My topic board has been removed. I don't know how that happened, but I don't know if we've finished all the poetry or not. I'm pretty sure we did. If somebody was there and didn't get read, I apologize, but I don't know where my topic board is. It's not in the topic section of the group, so I have no idea what happened. And so first of all, I'd like to thank Deb for coming by and sharing a wonderful poem, and I want to thank Sky for helping me and always encouraging me, because I am somewhat, I'm a lot technically challenged, and Sweet Pea for coming and contributing, Hatter for your poem and coming and.
There's a glitch in the matrix.
What's that?
A glitch in the matrix. There's a glitch in the matrix.
There's a bullet in the matrix.
A glitch in the matrix. Everybody.
I can't hear what you said, Hatter. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And I want to thank Frank.
Never mind.
Just put it on the board, because I didn't understand what you said. And you know, I was a little disheartened when I first started, and seeing that there really wasn't much interest in the topic. And I was very happy to receive those. Oh, and I want to thank Robert Morris and Gerald Green as well, who sent SoundClouds in for the evening. I'm very happy about that as well. And did I miss anybody? I don't think I did, but if I did and you were included in the evening and I haven't mentioned your name, please forgive me and know that you are appreciated. So with that being said, does anybody have anything? And the shows were already announced. I think. Oh, so we have 90 seconds, but I want to tell you, I did some bidding at an auction, an online auction, and I was able to get two hardcover books about Pablo Neruda. How about that for $3?
Oh, wow. Very fortunate there.
Yeah. So I was really, really happy about that, and we have 60 seconds left, and again, I want to thank you all. Is there anything anybody wants to say or share or anything?
No. Thank you very much for having me on. It's always a treat.
I'm having drops for dinner. I'm having drops for dinner.
Oh, I love you guys. You're an important
take
part of my life.
Take care, my friends.
And I bid you all good night. We've got a couple of seconds left, but thank you, thank you, thank you. For, you know, you guys make the show, And I appreciate
you. Enjoy your sunny day while I'm in the show. Snow, great show.
Well,
yeah,
it was a really good thought, too. So, bonsoir, mes
love
amis.
You,
je t'aime beaucoup. And à demain. All right? At Sweet Show. We'll see you tomorrow. And buenas noches.
Oui.
Oui. Okay, boys and girls. Oui. Night, night.
Take care.
Oh, thanks. Night. Sky, are you still there?
No, you got to end the show. You can call me. You can call me on my phone.
Okay. All right. Good night, dear. Thank you.
Good night. I'll talk to you in a minute.
Okay.